Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Interpreters for me to speak. Last week, I needed George to translate everything into Spanish, and I needed Scott to translate everything into English. And so at some point this morning, I don't feel like you're getting what I'm saying. I'm going to just ask Scott to come up and let him say it, because it's like so many times I say things and Scott would say, what Pastor meant is, psh. I was like, yeah, that's what I meant. And so I might start taking advantage of you more often. Have you noticed that life has patterns to it? Life has patterns that we kind of, I'm not talking about ruts. If we stay in a pattern too long, it kind of comes to a rut. But all of our life has to do with patterns. This morning, I want to talk to you about the predictable pattern of God's provision. You know, a lot of things in life, success or failure, is based on knowing the pattern. I grew up playing the greatest game ever invented. Now, I know some of you guys, you're weird. I don't understand you, but you stay up till 2 a.m. playing Fortnite. And you can't even tell me what span of time a fortnight is. Until you know that answer, I don't think you should play anymore. But I grew up playing a man's game. I grew up playing a game that really, really helps you succeed in life. It was called Pac-Man. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad to know I'm among God's people today. And to succeed in that game was to know the pattern. Right, you got to know. And of course, every 3 or 4 levels you complete, what do? They change the pattern, hoping that if they could get you unfamiliar with the pattern, you'd mess up. You'd eventually not be able to kill the ghost, and they would kill you. The success or failure was based upon you knowing the pattern. This morning, I want to tell you that there is a pattern of God's provision that He wants you to know this morning. That you can experience success, you can experience God's help if you will learn to trust, not just know. How many know there's a difference? Did you know there's a difference between knowing in your head and knowing in your heart? Sometimes I feel as God's people, we know things in our head, but we don't know them in our heart. And would you like a test to know whether you know things in your head or things in your heart? Here's your personal test for you. You may be sitting there wondering, well, do I know God's word in my head or do I know God's word in my heart? The difference between knowing God's word in your head and knowing it in your heart can be proven by what you do. See, when we know things in our head only, we know them, but we don't do them. But when we know things in our heart, we do them. We obey God. We trust God. And Jesus is on His very last day as a free man on earth. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be tortured and crucified. He has a lot of stuff on his mind. And like any good Christian would do, the disciples started to ask him, so what's for dinner? I think the most asked question on our missions trip was, what are we going to eat next? Here's Mark chapter 14, verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is to be sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal for you? And Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already ready, set up. And this is where you should prepare our meal. So the disciples went to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the meal there. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you for the testimony you've heard this morning. Thankful for what you're doing in our church. Thankful for what you're doing in the lives of our people. Lord, we know that you've called us to be a catalyst of spiritual transformation here at home and around the world. And I'm thankful you're helping us do that here at home and around the world. And I pray you'll help us do that in a growing, growing way. Pray this morning you'll speak to our hearts today. I pray that, Lord, you'll help us to trust and the predictable pattern of your provision. Lord, we're never alone. We're never limited by our resources. But Lord, there is more than an abundance of your supply and your help when we learn to lean on you. So help us this morning to lean on you, Lord, and not ourselves. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everyone said amen. So Jesus, his disciples are needing to prepare a meal, to have Passover, to celebrate Passover. And that may not feel like a really big deal for you and I. It may not feel like a really, what's the pressing need? What's the problem here? Well, here's the problem. Number one, they're wanting to do it in Jerusalem. And they're not, just not like this is just a Friday night thing like you and I like to go eat on Friday nights. This is tradition. This is part of their belief system is you got to take Passover and you got to take it on this special day and you got to take it in Jerusalem. So that means every Jewish person within, 100 miles of there is trying to come to Jerusalem to have a Passover meal. So the supplies were short and the places to have it were even shorter. And so they asked Jesus, how are we going to find a place to do it? Oh yeah, and by the way, Jesus is a wanted man. If he shows his face in public, one of two things are going to happen. He's either A, going to be arrested, or B, so many people are going to come to him that they'll never be able to have a meal anyway. And so going public, what was being seen in public was a very dangerous thing as well. And so they have this need, and Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's about to be crucified. No one knows it but him. And these disciples ask, Lord, where do you want us to have supper? If there was ever a day in the life of Jesus where he had the right just to say, figure it out, this was the day. But instead of just responding to them and saying, you take care of it, or we'll just run by Arby's on our way into town, instead of saying anything like that, he gives them what I would call a bizarre way to find dinner. I mean, he says, go into town. And when you go into town, you're going to see a guy carrying a water pot. Now, let me tell you something about Bible days. Men didn't carry water pots. That was a lady's job in those days. Don't look at me like that, ladies. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you what they did. So that was kind of weird that they would find a man carrying a water pot in the middle of the day. That's sort of different too, just that time of day. And then just follow him home. Now, we make a big deal out of stalking today, but isn't that kind of weird just to follow someone home? And then whatever house he goes into, ask to see the owner and tell the owner, hey, the teacher needs your house. And by the way, you should have all this stuff ready for us already. I mean, this is a pretty complex set of instructions that requires several unpredictable things to happen in order for it to work. But we just read, they went into town, and as soon as they entered the gate, here was this guy carrying a pot of water. They stalked him. They followed him home. And I'm sure the guy asked six times, why are you guys following him? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But they followed him home. I don't know if it was a mile away or 6 miles away, but they followed him home. They asked to see the owner. They said, hey, can we borrow a room? And everything was set up just like Jesus said. And I read this account and I think, Lord, why were you being so tedious about providing these details to these disciples on how just to prepare the Last Supper? I mean, this seems like a whole lot of trouble just to have a meal together. But let me tell you, Jesus was not trying to test these disciples and finding provision from God. He was trying to train them in following Jesus. He was trying to train them in how to receive the provision of God. And this morning, I just want to tell you, Jesus wants to train you in how to recognize his pattern so that you can partake of the provision that he has for you. I want to say this real clearly. Jesus has provision for you. If you're in a broken relationship, or maybe you're single, maybe you feel alone, Jesus has provision for you. Maybe you're in a season where you don't really know what the next step of your life is going to be. You really don't know, where am I supposed to go from here? What am I supposed to do from here? Jesus has provision for you. Maybe you're in a season of life where you just don't understand why it is you're going through what you're going through. Can I just tell you, Jesus has an answer for you this morning. He is the God who is faithful, and there is a predictable pattern of God's provision for your life. Now, when I say a predictable pattern, I'm not saying that you can predict how God is going to move, but I am saying you can be 100% totally confident that God will move on your behalf. Matter of fact, I've discovered that I cannot predict how God is going to move in my life at all. But when I play the track of my life in reverse, I can always see that He did move in my life. He's been faithful. So how can you and I learn to see these predictable patterns that God has? Well, I want to share them with you two or three ways. Number one, I'm going to share with you God's predictable pattern. But not only does God have predictable patterns, did you know that you have predictable patterns as well? Did you know that? Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're pretty predictable. You are. I mean, when you come into problems, most of us react the same way over and over again. Some of you in this room, when life doesn't go your way, you know, you suck your thumb. Well, maybe you've moved on from that. Or maybe you get quiet. Or maybe you're a fleer. You just kind of get away from a while. Some of you, you just some people, they blame other people. We all have these predictable patterns. And if you have been married, or if you have a brother or a sister, you know what their predictable pattern is. Matter of fact, some of you siblings in the room, you used to do things to your brother or sister just to see the pattern come out again. You work the pattern to your benefit. I would challenge you today, let's learn the pattern of God so we can work it, not just for our benefit, but for God's, for the kingdom benefit. Amen? So I'm going to share with you God's predictable pattern, and then I'm going to share with you my predictable pattern. I probably should ask Megan to write out my predictable pattern. That might be a little bit more honest than the ones I'm going to give you. But you might want to write out your own. You might want to, see, here's the deal. When we're face to face with problems, I'm trying to get better at this, and I hope you will too. I want to make sure I'm responding according to God's pattern and not my pattern. What do you do when you come face to face with problems that are bigger than you? Do you respond with what comes naturally to you, or do you respond with what God says should be our action? So here we go. How do we live our lives according to God's predictable provision? Here we go. Number one, understand that everything you do for God requires the help of God. Have you discovered that? The Bible says that apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. The deed of the day is to find supper. Well, that's all. We need a place to find supper. I don't know about you, but that sounds like something I can do myself. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, where are we to make the Passover meal? If Jesus would have just said, you pick it out, Peter. If I were Peter, I probably would have said, great, this is something I can handle. I can pick out a restaurant. I can find a place for us together and have a meal. But Jesus, He doesn't just say, you figure it out. He engages them in a way that lets them know, if you're going to do this for me, it's going to require the help of God. See, here's God's predictable pattern. Service to God always requires the power of God. I'm not sure if you're getting that this morning. So don't make me call Scott up here. Just say it out loud with me, okay? Service to God requires the power from God. See, here's the predictable pattern of my life, is when I feel like God tells me to do something, or I hear or I sense that God wants me to do something, many times my response is this: God, I've got this. Have you ever thought out loud or even in your mind, now this is something I can handle? Can I tell you, if it's something you're trying to do for God, it's something you can't handle on your own. few weeks ago. Had an awesome time. Me and some of my cousins and our girls got to go to the lake one Saturday. They were in from Dallas. And you don't know about this about me, but in another life, I was quite the water skier and wakeboarder. Before I discovered golf, if you wanted me on a Friday or a Saturday, you had to find me at the lake. That was our deal. We had a ski rig. That was our life we live in. And so we were getting together at my sister's place. She's got a nice boat. And me and my cousin decided that we were going to water ski together. Matter of fact, do we have a picture of us? Is that a no? If there's a great looking guy that shows up on the screen in a few minutes, that's me. But me and my cousin, we haven't water skied together since I sold my boat. So we're talking like a long time ago, 20 years basically. But we both jumped in the water and the whole time out to the middle of the lake, she kept on saying, you know, Greg, I haven't skied since you pulled me last. I was like, Brenda, don't worry about it. It's like riding a bike. Once you do it once, you can do it again. And so we get out there and I jump in the lake. And the furthest thing from my mind is, you know, it's been 20 years. I might not can do this. And we jumped in the water. And the boat went up. And she popped up out of the water. It's like she had no, I don't know why she was worried. The problem is, I didn't. I didn't get up the first time. I didn't get up the second time. You got to understand, I've been skiing since I was 7 years old. I didn't get up the third. As a matter of fact, the third time, it took all the strength I had to make it back in the boat. And as my brother-in-law is pulling her, he looks at me and he says, well, what's the deal? I said, I don't know. I said, I know that Jesus loves me. But everything else I'm unsure of, because it never crossed my mind that I couldn't do this. I'm just saying that sometimes we get more confidence in ourselves than we ought to have. I just, part of my pattern is this. I overestimate what I can do and I underestimate what God can do. But part of living life according to God's predictable pattern is to understand that we must have the power of God to do service for God. And when we try to do the work of God without the power of God, what we end up doing is burning ourselves out. So part of doing anything from God is understanding you've got to have the work of God. Now, before you, this isn't spiritual, but I got to let you know. I did get back out there on the fourth time. And I got up on the first try then, and I kicked off a ski, and I slalomed, and I did the whole 9 yards. I'm back in business. I do know that I am a Trinitarian, and I am called of God. Everything else came back into place after that, so I'm okay. But I'm just saying, every time we think that we can do God's work in our own power, we mess up. Point number two this morning is that Jesus has an unpredictable plan for the problems in your life. They ask Jesus, Lord, where do you want us to set up the meal? They expected Jesus to say, go to this street or go to that house or go see this person. But instead, he worked in a way that let them know that I've already got a plan for what you're asking about. Which lets me, here's part of God's predictable pattern, is God has a plan. No matter what your problem is today, God has a plan for your life. These disciples, they ask Jesus a question. Lord, where do you want us to set up the Passover meal? And the moment Jesus began to speak, they understood, oh, he's got a plan for this. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29 reminds us that God has plans for us, right? They're plans of evil. They're plans of good and not of evil. Plans to prosper us. Plans to give us a secure end. You know, the Bible also says that Jesus knows what we have need of before we even ask. But friends, we have to understand that when we have problems that are bigger than us, that Jesus has a plan for our problem. See, Jesus has a plan. That's predictable. Here's my problem is that I usually think I have a better plan. I know you're more spiritual than I am. That's why you're looking at me that way. But oftentimes when God tells me, listen, I have a plan for this thing, Greg, I'll say, well, Lord, that's great. But since, you know, I do have a degree, I have a better plan, God. And I begin to tell God my better plan. You know, there's been some argument among scholars about how this actually went down. Some scholars believe that it's not that the disciples just happened to find someone that Jesus knew would be there and followed him to a place that Jesus knew would be set up for them. Some scholars think that Jesus probably had already had conversations with these other two men, and he had all this worked out, and that this wasn't really an instance of divine providence or God's provision. This is actually just Jesus letting them in on something he'd already prearranged. But even if you were bought into that, wouldn't you say it's sort of providential that they asked the questions at just the right time, that gave them just the right amount of time to get from where they were to where that guy needed to be? Or had he been just circling the boil all day long with a pot, waiting for someone to, you know? No, this was God having a plan. And the moment they asked the question, they got in on God's plan. How about this? Since then, God has a plan in the middle of what you're facing today. How much longer are you and I going to wait and ask God, Lord, what's your plan? How do you want me to be involved in this provision that I know you're going to supply? But when you ask the question, let me warn you, point number three this morning, following Jesus' instructions always require faith. And when they had to follow this guy home, they had to have faith that they were following the right guy home, which, I mean, I told you there's probably not a whole lot of guys carrying water pots, but they had to have faith that they were carrying the right guy home. And when they asked the owner of the house if they could have this room, I mean, I know that the only thing they were risking was embarrassment, but let's be honest, how many times has embarrassment kept you from obeying God? You ever had the Lord told you to speak to someone and you thought, well, Lord, they might think I'm crazy. They might think this is inappropriate. They may laugh at me, God forbid. It always requires, God's plan always requires faith. That's the predictable pattern. Are you following God's plan for your life today? Here's a good test. Is it requiring faith? Because if it doesn't require faith, it's probably not God's plan. Instead, it might be Greg's plan. You know what Greg's plan is? There has to be a safer alternative. Right? God's plan requires faith, but my plan, I usually look for, is there some way we can do it without risking so much? Risking so much reputation, risking so much financial commitment, risking so much of my time. But God's pattern always requires faith. Verse number 17, if you were going to finish the chapter, you would see where it says these few words, later when Jesus arrived. Jesus was sending those guys ahead of him to prepare the room. And as I was reading this account, I just felt these guys having to go out there by themselves and follow this guy home and knock on the door and say, hey, the teacher, I'm not sure if you've heard of him. He needs your house and everything's going to be ready. I could sense that they could get the feeling that maybe they were working ahead of Jesus instead of with Jesus. And I'm just here to tell you, sometimes when you're walking by faith, you may feel like you're working ahead of Jesus. You're going before Jesus. But I want to tell you, in those moments you feel like you're ahead of God, I believe there's the moments where you're actually walking with God the closest. So the predictable pattern of God's provision for your life is going to require faith. It's going to require you saying no sometimes to that safe alternative. You look through the Word of God, there's several times when following him required faith. When you just think about the disciples who Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the shore, and despite their weariness, and how many times they've been fishing all night long and hadn't caught a thing. How many believe they probably fished out of both sides of the boat before? But they did it anyway. A young boy had to give up his lunch and have faith that Jesus was going to provide something he could eat for lunch too. Going to check on Lazarus, who Jesus said was already dead, could be great risk to the safety of the disciples. That's why Thomas said, "Lord, yeah, let's just go die with him. They're probably going to kill him and us too, but let's do it anyway." It seemed risky. I'm just telling you that part of following God's predictable plan for your life and my life is the reality that it takes faith. Matter of fact, Hebrews says it really plain. Hebrews says that without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. But the fourth way that we can embrace God's predictable plan for the provision for our life is to realize that Jesus always keeps his word. I love verse number 16. I would, if you have a real live Bible, I would underline this in your Bible this morning. If you're reading along on your Bible app or something, I would highlight this phrase. I love verse number 16. It says, "So the two disciples went into the city," listen to this, "and they found everything just as Jesus had said." Let me tell you about the predictable pattern of God's provision. When you follow it, you're going to find things just as Jesus said. Because he keeps his word always. Matter of fact, in this chapter, John chapter 14, there's at least five different predictions that Jesus makes that come to pass. Listen to this. I'm going to read them to you. First, he says, "You'll see a man with a water pot who's going to lead you to a house that's already ready." That's what Jesus said. And is that what happened? Yeah. Later on in the chapter, Jesus says, "By the way, the person who dips the bread in the cup with me will betray me." Speaking of Judas. And what happened? Judas betrayed him. Just a little while later at the same dinner, Jesus said, "One of you will deny me." And Peter said, "Not me, Lord." And all the other disciples, they all cheered on the Lord, "Not us." And guess what? Peter denied him that very night. Jesus said that around that same dinner table, he said, "You know, I will be arrested and I'll be crucified." And they all were like, "Jesus, come on. Look, we're around this table. It's safe. This table you supernaturally led us to." No one believed that Jesus would die. But you also see in chapter 14 that Jesus said, "But on the third day, I'll rise again." And no one believed that either. But it happened just as Jesus said. I'm just saying this. Every prediction of Jesus came to pass. Everything Jesus predicted happened just as he said. And here's the predictable pattern for your circumstance if you'll follow him. It will be just as Jesus said. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as Megan comes, as we close out this service together today. I know we all have doubts. God's predictable pattern is this. Jesus always delivers on time. My predictable pattern is I constantly find myself saying, "Lord, I don't think this will ever work." I'm not sure what your predictable pattern is when you're asking God to help you. But the bottom line is this, that Jesus has a track record. There is a proven pattern of him being faithful to you. You may be wondering, well, Pastor, how does this help me? I'm in the middle of a really big moment of life where I need the help of God like never before. What do I do with this message? Here's my challenge. Decide that you're going to respond to your current difficulty by following God's pattern and not your own. Instead of embracing doubt, I'm going to believe that God's working on time. Instead of looking for a safer alternative, that's my pattern, I'm going to realize that His plan will require faith on my part. Instead of following my pattern of believing that, I could probably come up with a way to help God out, I'm going to believe that God has a plan. I want to pray and ask Him, Lord, let me in on this plan. I need to know how to follow You. And instead of believing that I can handle whatever it is I'm facing Him on, I need to realize that I need the help of God. Serving God requires the help of God. Apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. In this private moment of prayer, I want to ask this one question, then I'm going to pray. In the middle of your current circumstance, have you been acting on your patterns, or have you been acting on the predictable pattern of God's provision? Have you been acting in faith, or have you been acting in fear? Have you been acting in a way that proves dependence on God, or in a way that shows that you've just been dependent on yourself? Listen, there is a predictable pattern of God's provision. And that pattern doesn't show us how God will move. And it doesn't even tell us when God is going to move. But it does let us know that He's always on time and He never fails. And this morning you say, Pastor, I'm facing something today and my temptation is to act on my own pattern. But today I'm choosing today to act in accordance of the pattern of God, because I know that God is faithful. If that's you this morning, I want to know to pray for you that in this moment, in the days ahead, that God is going to give you the courage and the confidence and the boldness to walk according to His pattern and not your own pattern. If you just need God's help this morning, just lift a hand real quick. Say, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me because I need to act in some ways that bring glory to Him. Amen. All across this room, I want to pray for you. Father, I thank You for this beautiful congregation of people that love You. And I pray this morning that none of us will just live our own life leaning on our own understanding as well. But we'll do what the Word says, that in all of our ways we'll acknowledge You, because in doing so, You direct our path. In doing so, you begin to be our provider. You supply for us in ways that are so far beyond what we could ever produce on our own. So Lord, I pray that our faith in ourselves would take a back seat to our faith in You, because You are great and You love us and You care for us and You have proven over and over again that You are faithful. So instead of leaning on our own understanding and what we can do, Lord, we choose to lean on You and what You can do. Help us today to live our lives according to the predictable pattern of Your provision. You've shown up over and over again, and I pray You'll show up one more time in the lives of these people. In Jesus' name. The church said amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap for His word today?